You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money while you travel better. Here's what we have on tap for you this week. We start out with Zach Honig from The Points Guy. If you've been a reader of my blog, Pizza in Motion, you know that I got the chance to go to Africa last year with UNICEF and Norwegian. It was truly a once-in-a-lifetime sort of trip. Well, Zach got to take a similar journey, and he joined the podcast again to fill us in on how awesome the trip was. Next up, Jen from Deals We Like is back to talk about why you should not apply for the newly refurbished American Express Gold Card through the current offer. This tip is worth an extra 25,000 points to you. Lastly, we wrap up with John from No Mas Coach. He joined me a few weeks ago on my other podcast, Now Boarding Podcast. He's hopping on Miles to Go for the first time to talk about a great way to save miles when you're booking a trip to Hawaii. Don't forget to send us all your questions about travel. We'd love to read them on the air and give you a bit of help with your travels. You can find us on social media. Search Miles to Go Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can always email us at milestogopodcast@gmail.com. Lastly, you can help us out by subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening, like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. By subscribing, you'll get our episode for free as soon as it's published. We'd also love it if you'd leave us a rating and a comment. We read all of your comments, and by subscribing and rating the podcast, you're helping us reach out to more listeners, and we really appreciate that. With all that housekeeping covered, let's get you to the show. Welcome back to another segment on the Miles to Go podcast. I've got Zach Honig back on with me from The Points Guy again. Hey, Zach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ed. How are you?
I am doing awesome. So, reason to have Zach back on. Some of you that that read my blog may remember that just about a year ago, I took a trip to Africa with Norwegian Air in partnership with UNICEF and brought a bunch of life-saving goods to Djibouti for kids, water salination kits, food, classroom supplies. And it was a really very personally rewarding trip to be a part of that. And I'm a bit jealous, but I also want to hear all the details. Zach was able to go on that same trip this year to Chad with Norwegian. They filled up a 737 with a bunch of great stuff to help out kids in Africa. So Zach, you were gone for how long?
So I was actually on the ground in Chad for 2 nights. Okay. So it was a pretty short trip, but we also had some time in Oslo and Copenhagen, and I think all in it was about 5 days.
And you guys were you were a narrow body 737, so you guys actually had a lot of gear dedicated for Chad and the camps that was loaded into the cabin itself, right?
Yeah, so it was a brand new 737 Max. It had flown for about a week after the delivery from Boeing in Seattle before we took it down to Chad. But almost a brand new plane, and we filled most of the aircraft, most of the cabin, with about 5 tons in total. Of all kinds of supplies. So the classroom in a box that you mentioned, we had water filtration equipment, vaccinations, medication, just a whole bunch of stuff. So in total, it was 5 tons in the cabin and I believe 7 tons in the belly. So we used the main cargo compartment and then the baggage compartment as well. So we really maxed out that Max, I have to say.
That's awesome. And I saw a couple of pictures that floated by. It looks like your group was probably about the same size as ours, maybe like a dozen to two dozen people on board.
Yeah, we had about two dozen because there's a Norwegian minister who joined, I think somewhat at the last minute. He had his security detail there, and there were some under ministers and some folks from UNICEF in Norway and Chad and the US. And so it ended up being a pretty big group, which was great because we really needed everyone's help. Because we were loading up the cabin, all the passengers actually stepped in to help out, including Norwegian CEO. And so we loaded up the cabin in Copenhagen and then flew down to Chad, and then when we landed in Chad, we actually didn't have anyone to help us unload the cabin there. And so we were a couple hours late. We landed after sunset. Within minutes of landing, the windows were completely covered in insects. And then we opened the doors and insects started to flood in the cabin as well. Might be an exaggeration, but if you looked up at the ceiling panels, you could probably see, 40 or 50 or so insects in just the oh, little wow. lighting panel in the forward cabin. So we took about 3 hours to unload everything from the cabin and then send that down through the front and the rear doors. And so it was definitely an adventure, but I was just thrilled to be able to participate this year because I actually really wanted to join you guys in Djibouti, but I had a conflict. And so we actually sent Angelina to cover it for us. But Anders, the gentleman who heads up PR for Norwegian in the U.S., reached out and he said, "Hey, you know, I know you wanted to go last year. This year we're heading to Chad." And to be completely honest, Chad has really never been in my travel plans. I wasn't thinking I would ever make it to Chad. And I actually had never been to sub-Saharan Africa either. My first trip to Africa was to Morocco last year. And so this was my first trip to sub-Saharan Africa. And Chad is an interesting destination for a first trip there, I'd have to say. It's not a tourism hotspot, to put it mildly.
Yeah, yeah. When the trip popped up on the radar, I knew that you guys were going to Chad, and my wife sort of overheard me, and then I was looking at the restrictions on the State Department website for Chad, and the look that came over my shoulder from her was not a very welcoming one.
No. My mom and my girlfriend were pretty concerned, but I assured them that we'd have a security detail there the whole time and that we'd be in a compound at the Hilton, part of which was true. But unfortunately, when the minister joined, he took our security detail with him whenever he headed out in Chad. So we were by ourselves part of the time, with our escorts from UNICEF and Chad. But that also unfortunately meant that we didn't get to go to the refugee camp. So we had originally had that on the itinerary, but a day or two in advance, that was just kind of quietly pulled off. And the reason for that was just there wasn't any security for us anymore. So there were three other journalists there, and they were pretty bummed out, I have to say, because that was a big part of their stories. But we did get to go to a malnutrition treatment center. Which was some pretty heavy stuff. We spent a couple hours there and they were filming some videos for Norwegian, but definitely a challenging visit. But it's incredible to see how much UNICEF is helping down there, but also how much need exists. I mean, the supplies that we bring down through Norwegian each year, and this is just a one-time trip to Chad. They don't even have another one scheduled. And I wouldn't expect Norwegian to go to Chad. There's just so many other countries that need help and support. But UNICEF is on the ground there. They have folks from, that are based internationally that spend a period of time in Chad, and also local staff and volunteers. And it's their responsibility to, get supplies down from the distribution center. The nearest one's actually in Copenhagen, which is why we began our trip there. And then there are a couple others around the world. I think there might be one in North America and one in Asia as well. But UNICEF depends on support from governments, but also from individuals. And so we ended up donating $10,000 to this specific mission to load some of the supplies on this aircraft. And we've asked our readers to pitch in as well. And so it's just ending right now, but we had a giveaway with Norwegian for people that donated. We were giving away 5 pairs of round trip tickets in premium class. It was kind of an incentive to give to UNICEF. But they had plenty of supplies for us to bring down. We had a 737 MAX, and there isn't a ton of space between the cabin and the cargo area. Not like the Dreamliner that you had last year. And so we did manage to fill it up completely. We even talked about filling one of the lavatories because we had a smaller group on board and we didn't need all 3 labs. But fortunately, there was enough space in the cabin, but we filled every nook and cranny. So the underseat storage, in the seats, there's these special cargo containers or storage, I don't know what you call them, tarps, that went on the seats specifically for cabin seating. I think it was made by a German company. But really an incredible effort, and I'm so happy that I got to participate in that. We have the support of TPG and our parent company, Red Ventures, to participate in things like this.
Yeah, it is pretty cool to be able to participate in that stuff. And if I remember correctly, TPG pledged $10,000 to UNICEF, and then you also had a bunch of donations come in from the TPG community.
Yeah, we've had a lot of support from our readers, which is incredible. And Norwegian and UNICEF were both thrilled about the campaign and the donation and the support of our readers. And, you know, just because the giveaway has ended, it doesn't mean that, you know, they don't have the need for a lot more support. So I definitely encourage anyone who can to donate to UNICEF. And you can just donate to UNICEF in the U.S. or in your country, and they'll definitely get the aid where it needs to go.
Yeah, for the folks who are listening in, if you're looking to donate, there are two fairly easy ways that we did in our local community after the drive last year. Something I grew up with, which I guess large parts of the country didn't get access to. And we had these little orange boxes that we would take around when we trick-or-treated on Halloween, and folks would put coins in the boxes. And that's still a program that UNICEF supports. So you can request those boxes from UNICEF to collect spare change when your kids go out trick-or-treating if you have kids. The other thing is that any Coinstar machine that you might find in grocery stores or shopping malls and stuff like that, those Coinstar machines will allow you to donate directly to UNICEF. So if you have some spare change at home that you don't want to roll and take to the bank, that's a great way to send them a couple of dollars. And I think the thing that most amazed me going through the stats, I certainly don't have them all handy, but what they could do with such a small amount of money, you know, $40 would feed a child for a month in sub-Saharan Africa and give them, you know, clean drinking water. It was just incredible to hear some of those numbers, what they could do with, you know, very little in the way of funding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and I want to mention also Norwegian. It's not just this flight they do once a year, which they call the most important flight of the year, but also they have plenty of opportunities to donate during flights, even when you're booking your ticket. And you can also donate even through the in-flight entertainment system. So one thing I like to do, I can't name them by name right now, but other airlines I've flown have collected for UNICEF. And if you're coming from an international destination, you know, somewhere that you've visited and you don't expect to return anytime soon, if you have any leftover currency, they tend to collect that during the flight, which I think makes a ton of sense. And I've never hesitated to donate all of my leftover currency if I have it. But coins, bills, I mean, they'll take anything that you have. And I'm definitely going to donate every chance I get on Norwegian flights in the future.
Yeah, it's funny because I knew what UNICEF was when I was a kid and then certainly lost track of it for a while there. And having been on that flight last year, having seen not just the you know, the conditions in Africa, because I think I knew about that, but to see the UNICEF facility and to understand how such a small donation can turn into something so meaningful, you know, to really understand that, you know, pennies coming out of my pocket means, you know, a child in Africa can drink fresh water, can have, you know, the right medicine to solve simple things like, you know, with, you know, diarrhea or vomiting here in the U.S. Not to sound crude, but you know that sort of stuff, you know, is fairly typical, and we don't think about it as life threatening. But in areas where they can't get fresh water when they have stomach ailments, you know, they don't have enough fresh water to rehydrate, and you know, just simple things like water salination kits make such a huge difference down there. Which, you know, the way that UNICEF procures them, it doesn't cost them a lot of money to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's incredible just seeing how far the donations that we brought down with us are going to go. And, you know, when we visited the malnutrition clinic, you know, and there's some severely malnourished children there, but they make so much progress in such a short period of time because of the support, not only from the physicians there, but also the equipment and the medication, and, you know, really everything from, I think they give them Pedialyte that's brought down from Copenhagen as well. And so you have to think about the logistics too. I think that's really where Norwegian came in, but you know, getting this stuff to Africa is part of the challenge. You know, there's a huge warehouse in Copenhagen, but getting all the equipment from Copenhagen requires quite a bit of money. You know, there's Norwegian donated the aircraft and all the space to get it down there, but that's not always an option. So your donations help not only procure the, you know, those items, but also get them into the hands of people in need.
Awesome. Well, I'd love hearing about your trip, Zach, and I love hearing how passionate you are about the UNICEF mission. I certainly feel the same way after having gone last year. It's something that certainly helped educate my kids on, and we're definitely trying to spread the word. I wouldn't hesitate, as you said, to take all the spare change out of my pocket and put it in a bin on my next flight when they're collecting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely encourage anyone to do that too. You know, I don't have any spare coins coming home with me anymore. You know, if there's an opportunity to donate whatever the cause on a plane, it makes sense. And, you know, I don't need to fill up my coin jar with international currency. You know, give it to someone who can put it to use.
Awesome. Well, Zach, when you're not hopping on the podcast with me or hopping to sub-Saharan Africa with Norwegian, tell folks where they can find you.
So I post to Instagram most often. You can find me there at Zach Honig, Z-A-C-H-H-O-N-I-G, Twitter there as well. And then we have a couple social accounts for The Points Guy. The Points Guy is the handle at Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then thepointsguy.com is our website.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being on, Zach. We'll have you on again soon.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. The Miles to Go podcast is brought to you in part by No Jet Lag. Don't let jet lag get you down. Flight crews, sports teams, and business executives around the world sing the praises of No Jet Lag. No Jet Lag is the leader in jet lag management for the last 25 years. Don't let jet lag spoil your next trip. Visit nojetlag.com to get yours today. Welcome back to the Miles to Go podcast. I've got Jen back with me from Deals We Like. How are you doing today, Jen?
I'm doing well, thanks, Ed. How are you?
Doing good. So there's been a little bit of a buzz about the new American Express Gold Card. And I guess, I don't know, there's some buzz behind the benefits themselves and then also some buzz behind the color because you can now get a rose gold American Express Gold Card. But the big buzz is that the best offer floating around out there isn't one that you can find on American Express's website. You're going to need to use somebody else's referral link, right?
Right. Yeah. It's interesting how some of the credit card companies push out some offers through some channels and different offers through others, and kind of wish they would just have one straightforward offer, but that's not the normal here. So you're right. There's a few different offers laying around and it's pretty significant. Sometimes, you know, offers vary by just a few points here or there, but this is double the offer through a referral link versus just what you find on some of the websites and American Express's website itself.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I saw the card when it came out, and as I've discussed on the show before, you know, Tiffany sort of took me behind the woodshed on this one a few weeks ago. I don't carry a membership rewards earning card right now, so I've been sort of thinking about which one I would start with. And when this offer came out, initially it was like, oh, okay, well, they've, you know, revamped the card. I like the new benefits. I'll get it. But then when I saw that the bonus was 25,000 points, it felt like I should probably wait for something better. And then poof. You know, the referral offer. So when we say referral offer, we mean is if you get a referral from someone who's an existing cardholder, instead of getting a 25,000 point signup bonus, you're going to get 50,000 points.
Right. Exactly. So everything else about the card is exactly the same. Same benefits, same minimum spend you'll have to meet. It's just the number of points you'll earn by meeting the terms of the offer.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything specifically that talks about how long the week they expect the referral offer to be out there. Have you?
I haven't seen that either. Although, you know, they're throwing out this January 9th of next year date of the current offer. So maybe that's when the referral offer will be available till as well. Or that could just be when that, you know, limited time rose gold medal is available. I'm not 100% sure, and I'm sure we'll find out, you know, as time comes closer. The referral offers, sometimes they continue on actually past what you'll see online, and sometimes they're pulled beforehand with no real notice.
Yeah, and I have to admit, as much of a nerd as I am, I think I do want to get the rose gold one just because it's different, and I don't have a card that color in my wallet right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is unique. It definitely looks pretty cool, and overall, it's a good card. It does come with a higher annual fee, but there are some good benefits that outweigh that annual fee. And to get 50,000 membership reward points is, you know, let's say you value them at 1.5 to 2 points. Some will utilize them much more. You know, that's $750 at least right off the bat.
Yeah, and I do a fair amount of dining on my cards for business travel, and I don't really have a good card to use that has that bonus category for business travel. I have Chase Sapphire, but that's a personal card, so
right.
I do think that this has the potential to have a spot in my wallet. And you know, I was sort of holding out for the American Express Platinum 100,000 point offer, but I haven't seen that one roll back around lately. So this is probably one that I will target and probably use for my restaurant spend in the U.S. going forward.
Right. Yeah. For those that aren't aware, this is probably the best category, dining category bonus you'll get from most of the cards. Some of them might have a little bit better category, but you're capped at, you know, $6,000 spend a year, where this one is, you know, very high threshold to go back to not earning that bonus points.
Yeah, and the only real catch here for folks who are thinking about the card is, unlike a lot of American Express bonus categories, this is only for U.S. restaurants.
Yes.
So if you do a bunch of international travel, just be aware that you won't get that bonus. I thought that one was a little bit odd, just because American Express sort of presents themselves as the international card. But yeah, it definitely is a U.S. only restriction on the restaurants.
Right. And same with the supermarkets. You also get the 4-time
right.
points there. And that's also U.S., which is actually common for the supermarket, that it's just on U.S. But yeah, definitely more of a U.S. centric card to use, not necessarily one that's going to get you anything so special during your international fine dining out.
Yeah. Well, great. Thanks for being on with us, Jen. Let folks know where they can find you when you're not hopping on the podcast with me.
Sure. You can find me at my blog at dealswelike.com or on Twitter at dealswelike, or feel free to always shoot me an email at dealswelike@gmail.com.
Great. Thanks, Jen. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Bye.
Hey, while we're taking a break from the show, I wanted to tell you about a new travel podcast that one of my friends just launched. The We Travel There podcast covers a different destination each week in 30 minutes or less. The host, Lee Huffman, finds experts on each area and does a deep dive into each destination. We Travel There will help you find the best surfing spots on Oahu and the Penguin Parade in Melbourne, Australia. He's already covered a couple of my favorite places to visit, like Hong Kong and Vancouver. Find We Travel There on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you find great podcasts. Now, back to the show. And we're back on the Now Boarding podcast to talk about Hawaii, which seems to be the destination that everybody wants to talk about. I hear it from so many folks about how they want to get to Hawaii and how can I do it cheaply. So our next guest is a guy who's been on my Now Boarding podcast, and he has the best name that I get to pronounce on the podcast consistently. So please welcome John Nicoldandrea from the blog Nomas Coach. Hey, John.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Am I getting better at rolling the R's there?
Not bad. I mean, you don't have to technically roll the R, but you're doing fine. It actually is. I give you, it sounds fine.
I'm trying to sound much more impressive than people know I am. So I'll take every little bit I can get. So the reason why I want to have you on today, you know, we've been talking about this back and forth, and you wrote a post, you know, just about 2 weeks ago, and it was a follow-up to something another friend of the podcast wrote, Gilbert from God Save the Points, who, you know, absolutely love hanging out with him. Might actually get to see him this week. And so you took a deal that he talked about in terms of using a current transfer bonus that's out there, and you supersized it. I mean, pumped a little bit of steroids into it, which is definitely something we love to do in this world. And so you used all the steps that you've outlined in your post to get folks round trip to Hawaii for 18,000 points and membership rewards points in this specific example. Walk folks through how they can do that.
Sure. There are a lot of ways to get to Hawaii. I think that most airlines fly there, right? I mean, you can, no matter where you are, whether you're flying Delta, United, or Alaska, or whatever it is, there's always a way to get to Hawaii. The problem that we run into a lot is that people will have these ideas of how best to use their points, and they're always asking, how should I use these points? How should I use these points? And they always will log on to either their American Express membership rewards portal or their Chase Ultimate Rewards portal. And the first thing that pops up is says, you have 100,000 points. You now have $1,000 to spend on travel, right? And it's sort of the credit card sneaky way of trying to convince you that those are worth 1 cent each. And I think that if you're listening to this podcast, you probably either know or you want to know how to transfer those into a currency that makes sense. I kind of look at it as, for me, transferable currencies like membership rewards and Chase Ultimate rewards are like the ingredients to a cake, right? Like once, like if you earn a Delta mile or an American Airlines mile, the cake is already made. You can't really do anything with it. But for me, if you've got a whole bunch of Ultimate rewards or membership rewards, you've got the flour, the sugar, the eggs, the vanilla, and you can convert those into any flavor cake you want. Does that make sense?
It does. And I would say while the vast majority of people listening are on to the fact that there are better ways to convert those points, I still hear from a bunch of folks who just think that the logical path is to redeem these flexible currencies directly for an airline ticket through membership rewards or Chase Ultimate rewards, which in some cases is not a bad decision, to be clear. Like it absolutely can work. I think what we're trying to do is continue to give folks examples of, hey, that's one path, but if you want to get to Hawaii, here's a better path if you're willing to do just a little bit of work.
Exactly. The only thing that makes me cringe more than having somebody come up and tell me that they redeemed their points for gift cards is when I see somebody pay with a debit card. I think that's the only thing that makes me cringe just a little bit more. but in all seriousness, so you can take these American Express membership rewards points, which I'm sure a large chunk of our listeners have, and you can convert them into British Airways Avios. And right now, for every 1,000 membership rewards points that you transfer, you will get 1,400 Avios. So there's a 40% bonus for every 1,000 points that you transfer over. So we know that living here on the West Coast, one of our best ways to get to Hawaii is on Alaska Airlines. They fly out of Bellingham, Seattle, Portland, Oakland, San Jose, San Diego, Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles. I think I'm missing a few probably somewhere, but they fly from a lot of places and they fly to every island. Since British Airways has this sort of niche redemption that every flight is based on distance. So depending on how many miles the flight is, how many points you have to redeem, a one-way redemption from the West Coast to Hawaii is only 12,500 Avios in economy class. So multiply that by two, you have a round-trip ticket for 25,000 Avios. And any day of the week, 25,000 Avios to Hawaii would be a steal, right? That's great. That's a wonderful price. I think what Delta charges one way, what, 30 or 40,000 or maybe 90,000, depending on how they feel, depending on the day.
Depends on the time of day, yeah.
Yeah, depends on what day of the week. And then American, I think, charges 22.5 one way. So there are a lot of more expensive ways to get there. But for 25,000 Avios round trip, that's a steal. Now, because of this 40% bonus, all you have to do is transfer over 18,000 membership rewards points to British. And that leaves you with just a tinge over 25,000 British Airways Avios.
Yeah, and you take that bonus and you're going to search for Alaska Airlines award space to make sure you have available what you need. But you're ultimately going to be booking it. You're going to be booking that Alaska Airlines flight through British Airways. And in your post, you note that you're calling British Airways to book. Is this something that they can book online or do they have to use one of the call centers?
No, yeah, I would refer back to the show notes and the post itself to make sure that it's sort of a six-step process. You've got to make sure you've got a British Airways account. You've got to transfer them over there. You search for the award space, but you have to search for it in a very specific way. You can't book this online. You will have to call. One of the problems that I have with Alaska is they also kind of have a dynamic point structure, right? There some flights are 10,000, then some are 12, and some are 20, and some are 30. And just because you see it on Alaska's website doesn't mean it can be booked using this deal. So the best way to find that space, and again, we outline all this with pictures and how-tos, is to search on American Airlines website. So once you see the space, the Alaska flight on American's website, you know that you are 100% good to go to book that using your British Airways Avios.
Yeah, and I would agree. As a general rule, if Alaska Airlines inventory is showing up on American Airlines, you should be good to book it. I've never, I hate using words like always or never, but I can't recall any time where I wasn't able to see that inventory across the board and then be able to book on British. The other thing to note for folks is, you may want to do some call center shopping, in that the various call centers, specifically the US one, can sometimes have long wait times for British Airways. So you may want to choose one of the overseas call centers for a shorter wait time. That might mean using, say, Skype or something else to call in if you don't have a reasonable long distance plan for international dialing, but it also may save you an hour or two on the phone.
And that's really good to note. What I will say is I've always called, if I need to do a booking and I know it's tight space, I've always called between 5 to 6 a.m. Pacific time. It's typically 8 to 9 on the East Coast. It's when the call center is just opening up for U.S. So the wait times are typically just a couple minutes. Or calling between right at about 4:45 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, because I think they close at 8 p.m. Eastern. So it kind of gets you into that last queue. As long as you're in the queue before 5 p.m. Pacific, you're good to go. You also do run the risk, though, that your call accidentally drops and then you're out of luck, right? So, if you're in the U.S., for me, the best way to do it is the earlier the better, before they get backlogged with their own workload for the day.
Yeah. So the bottom line for folks tuning in, and we'll definitely have a link to this in the show notes for you guys to review all the different steps. But what we're looking for here is we're looking for a saver inventory, if you will, on British Airways that you're using to book Alaska Airlines to get to Hawaii. Since these are distant-based flights, you can get there using as little as 18,000 membership rewards points as long as you're converting them over while this promotion is going on. And the bonus promotion is supposed to last through November 15th of this year. So you definitely have some time. I'd say definitely search for your inventory first. Make sure you've got those pieces in play to make sure that there's some stuff available. Again, the inventory may go away, but you've got a little bit of a chicken and egg problem of moving your points over. But once they're at British Airways, obviously, pretty darn hard to transfer them back to membership rewards after. Any other salient details you think people need to be aware of, John?
With British, because it is distance-based, do not forget that you cannot add a connecting flight. So you do need to be departing from the West Coast. So if you live in, let's say, Dallas, you won't be able to do Dallas to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Honolulu. This will only work for the Los Angeles to Honolulu route. Good news is that there's always cheap tickets, it seems, to get to the West Coast. So getting a flight to LA or to Seattle, just paying with cash. I think the other day I saw Dallas to Los Angeles on American for $40 one way. I mean, come on. So you can't beat that, right? Just make sure you get yourself to the West Coast, and then from there, you're good to go.
Yeah, and you'll also find fare sales pop up. There was a recent Southwest fare sale with fares as low as $49. And, some of those sales can be distance-based, but between Southwest and Frontier and those guys, you'll generally see a lot of cheap fares pop up to the West Coast. And you may not even necessarily need to book those carriers. Keep in mind that, the big boys, American, most specifically, and to a slightly lesser degree, Delta and United, do a bunch of fare matching for those low-cost carriers. So when you see a Southwest fare sale, that's the bell ringing for Pavlov's dogs to go check out American to see if they're price matching, that same fare. John, thanks a ton for being on. As I said, folks, we'll link to this in the show notes, the seven steps that John has to get you to Hawaii for very few membership rewards points. Thanks a ton for being on the podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, we'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. And we're back to wrap up this week's episode with the final two pennies. Two stories from the past 2 weeks have me thinking about how we book airline tickets. There was the bankruptcy and immediate disappearance of an airline you might never have heard of, Primera Air. Then there was the news that Norwegian Air is now moving more passengers between New York City and London than any other carrier. The New York-London market is a banquet that British Airways has feasted on over the decades, and now Norwegian is literally eating British Airways' lunch, carrying almost 2 million passengers on that route in the last year. So who are you supposed to buy tickets from? If you had jumped on Primera Air flights from Washington, D.C. to London, you'd be out of luck right about now. Sure, you might have gotten your money back from your credit card company, but by the time it happened, you might have been hard-pressed to find a cheap seat for the dates that you needed. And it wasn't as likely to be as cheap as Primera. Those fares were crazy low. If you're planning a trip overseas or even in the U.S., should you book a low-cost carrier or stick with a bigger, tried-and-true airline, if you will? We're in a golden age of cheap airfare, and these are interesting questions in an interesting time. The largest carriers are generally like a slow-motion train wreck when they're going to melt down, though you do have those strikes to deal with some of the European airlines employees like to bestow upon us from time to time. You'll probably know well in advance if you need to make a different arrangement or if you should avoid booking them in the first place with some of these larger carriers. Is it safe to book a ticket on Norwegian Air right now? I believe so. It's widely reported that they're struggling financially, but so is American Airlines right now, drastically underperforming their peers. They just have more cash in the bank. What about the next Primera Air or WOW Air or Iceland Air? There's so many of these carriers right now. If it's a purely leisure trip, I don't see the harm in booking with an unproven carrier like Primera. If it's for a meeting or a wedding, you might want to take some caution. And make sure you're staying tuned here and to my blog, Pizza in Motion, as we keep you up to date on what's happening with all these crazy low fares to places you really want to go. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. If you have questions about travel that I can help answer, send them to me so we can answer it on a future episode. You can email us at miles2gopodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter at miles2gopodcast. You can also search for us on Facebook. If you're enjoying the show, there are two things that you can help us out with. First, hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever, and leave us a comment and a rating. We read all of your comments and they help make the show better, and by subscribing and rating, you help us grow our audience. Thanks again for listening this week, and a big thanks to Zach, Jen, and John for helping me put together a great show this week. We're already putting together a great episode for next week, but until then, we've got miles to go.